everyone. I'm Pastor Mike Gordon. I'm the pastor at Bethel Christian Assembly. I'm here with Bryce this morning. Hey, Bryce.
Hey, how's it going?
And you are listening to The Extra Cut. The Extra Cut is that part of the after sermon that we begin to discuss some things about it. Perhaps there's some stuff that I had mentioned in this, or stuff, some things in the sermon that I forgot to mention. And this is kind of the idea to do it, and just a time where we can kind of dissect things and talk a little bit more depth of some of these things in a more relaxed fashion. And maybe you're here and you're saying, I only have 15 minutes. I don't want to listen to the whole sermon. I'll just listen to the extra cut. If that's you, hey, shut this off and go listen to the whole sermon and then come back and listen to the extra cut. So now we are on our second version of the series, which is called Unwrapping Christmas. And we talked about the fact that God's timing is absolutely perfect a couple of weeks ago. The second part of the sermon had to deal with the extravagant generosity of God, and the idea of this whole passage and this whole sermon series is the fact that sometimes we never ever get past the superficial levels of Christmas and what exactly it means, the incarnation, that Jesus had actually come in human form so that we could enjoy life to the fullest. And so what I called it was the extravagant generosity of God. Now, the reason I had mentioned that is because a lot of times we realize that there are certain things that we have to have as a result of a relationship with God. Because I love Jesus, I need to be more patient. Because I'm more like Jesus, I need to be forgiving. But we never ever stop and consider that one of the overflows of becoming like Jesus is to be generous, to be extravagantly generous. That's like over the top, like unbelievably generous. And so it began to cause me to ask, what have been those times in my life when extreme or extravagant generosity has been shown to me? And so I'll kind of pass that on to Bryce. If he has any time. Hey, Bryce, is there ever a time when you were given a gift that was so huge that you're like, wow, this is incredible?
I'd have to say when I was in high school, actually, no, I would have been just before high school, maybe grade 8. My parents weren't like, they didn't make a ton of money, to say the least. And I really wanted like a PSP when they were like a portable PlayStation or whatever they're called. And I didn't expect it for Christmas because like my parents couldn't quite afford it or anything like that. And anyways, long story short, I get there on the Christmas day and I open this gift from my parents and there's this PSP, not only the PSP, but a special edition PSP that had Brett Favre. So this is when Brett Favre was still playing and it was like, they had like a face of him on the back and like it came with a Madden 08 or something like that. And I was like, yes. I was super pumped for that. I played that thing so much until my sister stepped on it one day.
And I remember my kids wanting that. You could play movies on those things as well.
You could download.
Yeah, I remember those things.
They were great. Probably one of the best gifts I've ever gotten.
There was a time as a pastor where we really struggled. And at the same time, our vehicles were all dying. And and so there was one time where I just had a van and I worked full time. My wife worked full time and all of my kids were going to college and two of them were working full time. And we had one van. That's all we had. And so at the time, we didn't have any money that could afford to buy a new van or a vehicle. And then one of my friends said, listen, here's a car. It's not much. Here's a car. And then all of a sudden the other vehicle broke down and someone from the church had come to me and said, listen, my wife is not going to be driving anymore. And so we have an extra car. Do you want a new car? And so the last three cars that I have had have been absolutely given to me. And the first two were good cars. They were experienced cars. We'll call them experienced cars. But the last one was almost new. As a matter of fact, it's the Honda CRV that I have now, and it's a beautiful vehicle, and I knew that it cost a lot of money, and the people who had given it to me, it was an expense for them. And when you are given something which is that expensive, when you cannot repay them, that was the whole thing. There was like the feeling that you're happy that you have the vehicle, but there's a part of you that is extremely humbled because you realize the price that they had paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what was going on. I don't know if I would call it sad, but just humbled. And I felt happy. I felt helpless. And I felt humbled. There's the fact that I wish that I could somehow give them back, but there was no way that I possibly could. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any money. And so all of a sudden that caused me to realize. And when I think of that, I think of just a fraction of the thought of what God has done for us and what Christmas represents. It is the fact that God had given things so deeply. And so that was what the message is about. And the idea that I had in this passage of scripture is that I had to convince people that this whole idea of being redeemed is something which is so huge that we have lost in translation what it means to be redeemed.
Hmm.
So do you have any thoughts as you listen to the sermon on Sunday, Bryce?
Yeah, well, actually kind of on that with the redemption aspect, like you made a comment about the people. It was from Isaiah 9:2, but it was like the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And so I just thought that, like, coming from like not really a Christian background, I had a little bit rougher than some people. And so because of that, I lived in darkness for a lot of my life, depression, all of these things. But all of a sudden I came to know Christ and it was just illuminated. All of a sudden I'm like, wow. Right, like you realize that yeah, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be redeemed. I've done some terrible things in my life, but yet God still openly receives me into His kingdom and calls me a son.
Yeah.
Right, and for me that was like a big highlight when I was listening to that redemption and reading that. It just opens your eyes that, you know what, you have an appreciation for it because you realize you don't deserve it. Just like you said, like, oh, you know what, I can't repay it. There's nothing I can do to repay God for what He did rather than serve Him.
So how many years ago was that?
That would have been, that I gave my heart to the Lord over there?
When that experience happened.
That would have been like 7.5 years ago.
Yeah. Now for me, it was 40 years ago.
What? No
Close
way.
To 40 years
so it
ago.
It happened when you were like 3 years old?
Yeah, exactly. 2, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go.
So here's the thing. I believe that I have forgotten. As I listened to you talk about that, I had that feeling 40 years ago.
Hmm.
But for me to say that I have that level of excitement, to be honest with you, I don't know if I have it. And it's just due to the fact that I have forgotten the whole aspect of what it was like to be lost.
Hmm.
And then all of a sudden when God comes, you realize once you accept Jesus and God does great things in your life and He supplies and does all these things, you just realize that, wow, this is incredible. All of a sudden you realize, I'm going to heaven now.
Yeah.
All these things are part of the whole process that we somehow have forgotten. And in our society, we kind of we don't realize that redemption was such a huge thing. At that particular time, they could understand that we lose it in the translation, but there is an overflow from it. There's a natural overflow that comes when we all of a sudden realize where we've come from.
Yeah. Well, that actually reminds me of like something that kept me keep on remembering from where I came from, like, and remembering that, hey, like I have been redeemed. And all of this is in Titus 3, I believe it's in, where it says, don't forget where you came from, right? Don't forget how you were once lost. You were doing the same things, right? And so that just, I remember reading that passage when I was like, I've been a Christian for maybe 4 years at that point. And it just blew my mind away because like, I never want to forget that. But sadly, like you, even to myself, I sometimes forget. I was like, ah,
yeah,
I have been saved. And so it's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. He gave his life for me. And so the thought is now I give my life to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, I do that for other people. And the older I get, the more I realize that there are certain things that money can't buy. When I'm younger, when I was your age, I always said, yes, I know that that's true. But inside the back of me that said, you know, but if I had a couple million dollars, it would be really nice. You know, as I get older, I come to realize that, well, you know what? Even if I had all the money now, then there would still be things that are extremely more important to me now. So
All right. And so I'm going to ask you one more thing, and then I think we'll probably wrap it up here.
Yep.
But you, at the end of your sermon, you kind of challenged everyone. And you said, maybe this season God is calling you to be generous to people. And you kind of like, I love it how you end with a challenge a lot of the times.
Yep.
And this week was like, who is God calling you to be generous this next year, right? Even this week, right? And so is there any example that you could maybe share where God calls you to maybe be a little bit more generous to someone? Or maybe he's calling you into a season now in the same way, because it means so much, as even as like when I'm speaking to youth, I want to, when I'm speaking to them and challenging them to do something, I want to live it out as well. Yeah. And so do you have an example of that for yourself?
Yeah, I find that many times when I get that challenge, I'll write down three people and say, okay, who is it? Other times I believe that the circumstances allows me to do it at that particular time. As a minister, there has not been a lot of times where I have had excess funds, but there are a couple times when I did. There was one time where it was near Christmas time, and we were buying something. It was our favorite restaurant, and we had a particular deal that if you bought so many of their gift certificates for this particular meal, that you could get an extra $50 certificate. And we thought, well, this is a good time. We go to this place after church all the time, and so I was there, and it was Sunday. And there was a guy who was moving to British Columbia from the Niagara region, and he was first married, and they were going out and they were launching a ministry, and he's excited about that. And he says, well, what I need, and at that time he says, what I need is a GPS. GPS would be really good for all the stuff that we want to do. And he said, you know, there's one that I'm looking for, I'm praying for, and it costs $350. And I never have more than $7 in my pocket at any particular time. At that time, I had $350. I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and she knew exactly, because this has happened before a number of times, that all of a sudden the money is there, the availability to give it is. And so I said, here's the money right here. And he was in tears. He says, I can't believe this. I says, well, I have it at the time. He says, there's nothing in me that says that it is mine. And if God has given me so much, how can I not allow that money to go to you? And I think that God wants us to continually operate at a level of, it's not mine.
Yeah.
It's yours, God. You have given me so much. How can I hold on to these things when you have done so many wonderful things? And you know what? As I look back, I think, man, this is one of the best times. I love those times when I'm able to give, when God has given me the opportunity. And I think it all stems from the fact that I realize everything that God has done for me.
That's
so
awesome.
So that kind of winds up our extra cut. Hopefully you're enjoying it. If you do, invite your friends. I'm Mike Gordon.
I'm Bryce Martindale.
And glad that you can join us. God, I pray that you minister to each and every heart. We pray, God, that we will never take for granted all the wonderful things that you've given to us. And be with us and bless us. Whoever is listening to this podcast, God, I pray that you'll bless them and work in their lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.